Hebrews 13. You may have guessed the verse. I can't think of a better way to begin this new year before us, or to close out the old one, than to be reminded of this blessed, blessed truth. Jesus Christ, that one who is our Savior and who Himself is salvation. We're told Jesus Christ the same. You can't say that about anything else, can you? Day by day we look in the mirror and we say, oh, how swiftly we change. But the Lord, I said to him this morning when he came in, Happy New Year. He said, yeah, another one. We begin another one. And how fastly they come and go. Do they not? Do they not so quickly? Just one upon the heels of another. So many changes within, without. Oh, but we read of that one with whom we have to do. That one that is the most precious to us. That one which is most valuable. The one of whom we could not rather do without, concerning Jesus the Christ, our Savior, the same yesterday and today and forever. Looking back over this past year, we've all experienced change. We've all experienced changes. Some for the better, some for the worse. And we might be tempted to think at times, concerning those difficult times, is nothing stable? Is nothing for sure? Is there nothing certain anymore? Yes, thank God there is. Our Redeemer says to each of His own, I am the Lord, and I change not. I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Old Newton wrote one of the verses of his famous hymn, his most famous hymn. Says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Here we stand. Here we stand. And we may look back even now and in our memory think of a trial that we thought at the time we were passing through it, this is too much. This is that last straw. I cannot bear this. I cannot endure this. And yet here we stand on this side and we sing, His grace has brought me safe thus far. Children of God, for you and I, that's the only explanation. Joe, there can't be anything else. There could be no other reason, no other answer to the question, what has brought us safe thus far? It's His grace. And His grace that's proven sufficient for us thus far, right up to this very moment in time, His grace shall lead us home. Now there's a foundation. There's stability. Jesus, Savior, changes not. Not in His glorious person, no change whatsoever. Not in His glorious purpose, as Joe read to us a moment ago. He's the same in His everlasting love to each of His own. Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. The same unchanging, effectual redemption. The same value, the same merit, the same worth, the same pleasant acceptance before God Almighty to whom He offered Himself without spot and without blemish. And the same precious blood cleanseth us from all sin. And we stand this morning before our holy Lord God, accepted because we're dressed in that same spotless robe of righteousness. You know what? You know what? That robe will never fade. That robe will never lose its luster. That robe presents us before God without a blemish, without a stain, without any such thing. Amidst all the changes within and without, he abideth forever the same. Isn't that a comfort? This is why the child of God can sing in all of his circumstances. What we just sang a moment ago. On Christ the solid rock I stand. And Christ said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Nothing can pluck them out of my hand. Turn, if you will, to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. In this chapter, we're told that the time had come for Joshua that will come to all God's people. The time that he should leave this world. In verse 2 of Joshua chapter 23, we read this. Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers. And he said to them, I am old and stricken in age. I've changed. I'm not the young man I used to be. I'm not that one that led you into the promised land. I'm not as youthful as I once was. I'm an old man now. I'm well stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all those nations because of you. If God be for us, who can be against us? For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Look down, if you will, at verse 14. I love this passage. Verse 14, Joshua yet speaking, and he says, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. And our Joshua, Jesus, makes this claim. Not one promise shall fail. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away. As a vesture, they shall be folded up and laid aside once they've served their purpose. But he says, my word shall not pass away. Not one promise shall fail. All shall come to pass. The old hymn on page 75 of our hymn book was written by a man named Henry Light in 1847. The original hymn had about 8 verses to it. Ours in the hymn has 4. He finished writing that hymn on the same day, the Sunday, that he stood before his congregation that he had pastored faithfully for so many years and preached his farewell sermon, his last sermon. He finished this hymn on that same day. He was dying of tuberculosis. And in 3 weeks from that day that he delivered his last sermon to his congregation and finished this hymn, he was gone. He'd gone to be with the Lord. He wrote, abide with me. Fast falls the evening tide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When others' helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim and its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. And our Joshua said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Turn, if you will, let's look at a passage or two. Psalm 33. We can stamp immutable, unchanging upon every attribute of our unchanging God, unchanging in His power. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Unchanging in His love. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Unchanging in His purpose. Unchanging in His grace. Unchanging in His mercy. We read this throughout the Scriptures. Here in Psalm 33, verse 10. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Oh, but the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand forever. The counsel, the purpose of God shall stand forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. I am the Lord, we read in Malachi. I am the Lord, I change not. But the verse doesn't stop there, does it? I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, for this reason, this is the reason ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Because I change not. Peter says, I'll never deny you. A few hours, just a few brief hours later, he's cursing, trying to prove to our Lord's enemies that he has no knowledge of Jesus of Nazareth. I don't know the man. Oh, but having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Peter was no less loved by his Redeemer when he was denying that he ever knew him, then when he stood and said, I know that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. There was no change in Christ's love for fickle Peter. And in the beginning of yet another year before us, we can certainly apply these words of James to this coming year. Whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Job, what is your life? It is even as a vapor. Anything more fleeting, anything more fragile, it is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But my comfort doesn't lie there, does it? It doesn't lie there. My hope doesn't lie in whether I know what tomorrow holds, because I do not. I don't know what a day might bring forth. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Oh, but here it is, John. Here's the comfort. But I know who holds all my tomorrows. All my tomorrows are in the hand of my great shepherd. They're all in his hand who doeth all things well. Think of this, child of God. All that Christ now is, he is to you this day. All that he ever was, yesterday, he now is. All that Christ will be in eternity to come, in heaven itself, he is to you right now. Isn't that a comfort? Right now. Don't look for hope in yourself, in your fickle character, your changing feelings. Luther said, oh, feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. My hope is in the Word of God. None else is worth believing. But look to Him who changes not, who cannot be changed. Nothing changes Him. Turn, if you will, to Psalm 73. We read Psalm 72 a moment ago. But look here in Psalm 73. One of the many Psalms of David. Oh, what a checkered life the son of Jesse led. At times so bold in the cause of his God, standing before that giant Goliath, and he said, "You come to me with your sword and your spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel." And then at other times see him as he has a man murdered so he can take his wife. Truly, verse 1, truly, surely, God is good to Israel, even to such as of our pure heart. But as for me, God is good. There's no question about that. His very name is an abbreviation of good. But as for me, as for Larry Chris, now that's another story. That's another story. God is good. He's always been good to me for 63 years. And for quite a few of those years, though I knew it not, God was good to me. John, you spoke this morning in your lesson about prevenient grace. Grace before grace. Oh, how he kept me, preserved me, and would not let me go until he called me by his grace. As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. And throughout the psalm, David speaks about the reason of his great trial and temptation. He was envious at the wicked. Imagine that. David, to whom God had given a throne, made king, blessed with everything, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, was with David, and yet he turns his eyes momentarily to the wicked, and he said, "I'm jealous of them." Ever been there? Ever been there? But look, David changed, but his God didn't change. Look what we read down at verse 22. "So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. You won't let me go." Our Lord said to his disciples, when the multitude turned and walked away, he asked them, "Will you also go away? Will you also go away?" Yes, I will. I most certainly will if he doesn't hold to my hand. But he's promised that he would. Nevertheless, yes, I was ignorant. Yes, I was foolish. Yes, I was envious. Yes, I was like a beast. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast not let go of me. Thou hast holding me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And afterwards, oh, sweet afterwards. Peter, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. Afterwards, oh, joy, or rather, weeping may endure through the night. Oh, but afterwards, joy cometh in the morning. Afterward, receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. I'm sure that David rejoiced to know that his salvation did not depend on him. Don't you? And I am so thankful. I am so thankful that no part of my salvation, Lester, I'm so glad of this. Not justification, not sanctification, not redemption. No part of my salvation whatsoever depends upon the least in me. It's all his doing. That's what gives this sinner hope. I would have no hope otherwise. There's a quote in today's bulletin by Mr. Toplady. He says, upon review of the past year, he wrote this in his diary. In 1767, on New Year's Eve, he wrote, upon review of the past year, I wish to confess that my unfruitfulness has been exceeding great, my sin still greater, and so must I, must make that same confession. Oh, how unfaithful, how unfaithful, how prone to wonder. Prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. My sin still greater than my unfruitfulness. Oh, but God's mercy, God's grace has been greater than both. God's grace has been greater than my unfruitfulness, my unfaithfulness, and all my sin. His grace yet abounds more and more. As I said a moment ago, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but knowing who holds tomorrow, we can look forward with hope. This year may be a time of sickness because flesh is still flesh. But Jesus, who changes not, who is the same yesterday and today and forever, he's still the great physician. Every miracle is a picture of his power to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. He can in this very hour, in this very place, make himself known to whom he will. Ask Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, is he who is the light of life? Is he who in the beginning said, let there be light? Is he mighty to save? Can he yet, by his same omnipotent power, by the simply exercise of his will, open blinded eyes? Oh, Bartimaeus would say, can't you just hear him? Can't you just hear him? I'm sure he would never tire of saying it. Oh, let me tell you, that day I sat by the gate of Jericho and I heard that Jesus was passing by and I cried for mercy. Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And in my mind's eye, I go back and I see another beggar. I see another beggar. I see another blind sinner. Lost and undone. And Jesus of Nazareth came by. He came to where I was. Could you? My soul. He came to where I was and opened my blinded eyes. Jesus, have mercy on me. Oh, I love this text. In Luke 18 we read, and Jesus stood still. Jesus stood. He stopped and said, bring him to me. Bring him to me. What do you want, Bartimaeus? Oh, I want to see. So be it. And Bartimaeus opened his eyes and he saw the Lamb of God. Mr. Spurgeon said, oh, he opened my eyes and I could have looked my eyes out. Oh, how precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Oh yes, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. What about that woman? That poor dying woman who had spent all of her living on quacks and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Jesus passed by her one day. And Luke tells us she thought to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, that's all it'll take. That's all it'll take. He's full of grace. Full of grace and truth. If I can just get through this crowd. If I can just some way get through this crowd. If I can just make contact with him. If I can just touch him. I shall be made whole. And you know the story. She reached forth. And that moment she was made perfectly whole. He did for her what nobody else could do. The touch of the Master's hand. He said, someone had touched me, for I have felt virtue flow out of me. Flow out of him. His grace, his mercy, his righteousness flows from him to needy, helpless sinners. Yes, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Precious. Precious is that flow. That flow from him to needy sinners that makes them white as snow. This year may be some lonely times before us. But listen. Jesus' promise to you is this. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Turn back, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. So many of these that we could read. But look what we read here in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14. This is the word of our faithful God that changes not. Verse 14 of Isaiah 49. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. And our God's reply is this. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. What should we do with that blessed truth? Seeing then, Paul says, that we have such a high priest, Jesus the Son of God, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Let us come to him. And maybe, there's no maybe about this. There will be trials. Because he faithfully has told us, in the world, as long as you're in this world, ye shall have tribulation. Anybody here this morning been exempt from that? No. And we never will be as long as we're in this world. But still, our Joshua, the captain of our salvation, will bring us all home. Everyone. Turn back, if you will, to the Psalm 84. Let's look at another here. Psalm 84 and verse 7. Concerning God's people, we read, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The Lord shall give grace and glory. No sinner that has ever tasted of his grace will not fail to enter glory. Turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter 7. We have a picture of this very thing. In Revelation chapter 7, John said, I saw a multitude before the throne, in verse 9, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. Verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but these are they which came out of great tribulation. They all came out. Glory to his name. They all came out. They all stand before the throne. They all wave the palm leaf of victory. They're all clothed in white robes. They all cry salvation to our God. Glory to his name. They all came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night. They love him with an unsinning heart, with an undivided heart. He has their complete, undivided attention always. And they serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Without a doubt, that battle that we read of in the scriptures, that battle within, will not cease as long as we're in this world. The spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. We will still cry out, O wretched man that I am, present tense. Present tense. When I was first saved, I ignorantly thought that the time would come that I would get beyond that. I would get beyond that. Oh no. Old Adam is still too strong for Larry. Who shall deliver me? Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he answered the question, didn't he? I thank God through Jesus Christ the Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation. Child of God, I pray that he would bring that to your remembrance. When you lie down tonight or any night, after a trying day, after a difficult time, or while going through a trial, and remember, nothing can touch this. He'll hold to my hand. There is now, therefore, now no condemnation. Nothing can touch that to those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 and 1 begins with no condemnation and ends with no separation. Oh, how blessed is a believer is. Blessed are those to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And it is also still true that now we see through a glass darkly, but not then. Not then. I had my daughter-in-law, Larry's wife Donna, concerning her cousin losing her child. It happened during Thanksgiving when I was there visiting. And she came home and asked me, I don't understand why that happened. Why would God allow that to happen? And I said, I don't know. I don't know. But I do know this. That child is now in glory. That child is undoubtedly one of God's elect. That child now beholds the King in his beauty. That child will never experience what some of us do. Thank God that child is now beholding his face. And that is still true, is it not? We read in Revelation 22, verse 4, and they shall see his face. Heaven of heaven, glory of glory, they shall see his face. Turn back, if you will, to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We read the last words of Joshua. We're told here that these are the last words of David. David, the sweet singer in Israel. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, Verse 5. I like this. Although my house be not so with God, and I think we can all identify with that, can't we? But he didn't stop there, did he? Yet, nevertheless, yet, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. What makes it so sure? Because he entered it into that covenant on the behalf of all of his people with the son of David, the great shepherd of the sheep, whom God raised from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The triune God entered into covenant for the salvation of his people. And Christ is the surety of that covenant. Yet he had made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And David said, oh, as he departed this world to be with his God, he said, this is all my salvation and all my desire. I need no more. I want no more, although he make it not to grow. In Joshua chapter 12, you need not turn there. We read this. They did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Joshua led them into the promised land. 40 years they had wandered in the wilderness, but now they entered the promised land. No more weary wilderness. No more pitching tents. No more fiery serpents. They entered into rest. And perhaps this year, our Joshua, Jesus Christ the same, may will that this year some of us be with him where he is. And he that sits upon the throne will wipe away every tear from our eyes. In heaven, we'll never have a reason to cry, John. Never have a reason to cry. Nothing to cry about. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim. Its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. God bless you.